Good afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for being here. I desire your prayers as we look into the Word. Thank the Lord for His faithfulness. Thank the Lord for the songs of Zion and the blessings that we have to be here.
Yes, amen.
And I desire to bless and encourage. And as we look into the Word, however the Lord leads, to guide us.
Yeah.
I have a specific question. Are you in possession of the real thing? The real salvation. And how do you know you are in possession of a real salvation? And if you are not in possession of a real salvation, how will you know you're getting a real salvation? One of the ways we know is because it works.
Yeah.
And may the Lord inspire our faith as we look into what works. That it actually does what it said it will do. And a temporal example in reference to the real thing. Is there anyone here who works in finances, with money, in the banking area? Well, I had a conversation with a banker once, and the indicated that they don't spend time looking at all the ways that people try to counterfeit money. They are experts on what real money is. Therefore, when they come across something that doesn't fit the definition of real money, they know it's fake. So there's no need to spend time with all the counterfeit options of what people say salvation can do. We focus on the Word of God and get closely acquainted with that. In these contemporary times, we have so much access to information and ideas and iterations of ideas and things taken apart and shared to you in short little memes on your phone, through internet, in conversation. We have access to so much information. But that which is the pure Word of God can be distracting because we have so many things that we're going through. We're like, that's real? It is? How do I know? Well, we go back to the basics. Let's go ahead and start with the basics. And let's go to Galatians chapter 5. As our foundation. Galatians. In the 5th chapter, the Galatians would represent a city where there was a congregation, and these are the teachings that the Apostle Paul gave to them. And we're going to start around the 20th verse in chapter 5 of Galatians. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We heard about some of that this morning. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So, when the flesh is going against what God calls us to do, and there is conflict, you can rest assured that God's Spirit is talking to you about something. When we are going through our daily lives, doing those things, and the flesh comes up, those things that we desire that are pleasing to the flesh, and God taps us on the shoulder and says, no, I don't want you to go there. And then there's a desire to continue. The Holy Spirit is real, and it doesn't let certain things get by. It doesn't let anything get by that's going to get in the way of you getting into heaven.
Yes, it will.
So you know that your salvation is real because the Holy Spirit is with you daily. Now, this specific commentary is speaking to those of us who are saved, who have given their life to Christ, prayed at an altar of prayer, and you're going through your life, you're experiencing life, and things are coming up, and the Holy Spirit is saying, right there. The Holy Spirit comes on gently.
Yes, He does.
And says, I want you to think about that. This is more important to you than spending time with me. Where the shade of things comes is when that thing that you're doing is not exactly sin. But it is taking you away from time and thought with God that you should have been giving, and it can become sin if you let it go too far. But the Holy Spirit is there to guide you at the point when it can be corrected. It says, no, not now. That's when those little nuances, we say, well, that's not sin, I can do that. Well, that's not sin, I can do that. But the Holy Spirit said, if you spend too much time with this, it can put you in a situation where you are on a trajectory that can you could lose your salvation.
Lord, help us.
Because for you and your personality and the way God made you, He said, I know what can take care of you best. And I want you to shift your habit, shift your daily routine. For me, in one instance, I had to change the route that I went to school to avoid temptation. Now, going to school, there was no sin in that. But the route that I took and what I did during that route, God said, you need to steer clear from that. You need to take a different direction. So you make a turn here and go in that direction in order to get where you need to go. Because if you keep going on that route, you're going to get in trouble. Going to school, going to work, that's not sin. But there's something in the way that you're going in that direction that can cause you to stumble. You know that you are in possession of a real salvation because God takes precautions to take care of you to prevent you from doing sin.
Yes.
Sometimes it might be something that is on the radio. You push the on button, I know I always do, so I can hear the news, so I can hear the traffic. But then there's something that's in the programming that's going to be a problem for me. It's going to be a problem. Is it sin to listen to traffic on the way so you can navigate to work? No. But there's something in that that for you needs to be taken away. You need to eliminate that from your life. That might feel uncomfortable right now. But it is better to be uncomfortable right now than lost in sin at a future point. God made humans to adapt. You can adapt. You can overcome. Because He's going to give you an understanding of how to do that. So when the flesh is warring with the spirit and saying, I want to do this, recognize who you are warring against. And say, Lord, you're in this. That's why I'm having this conflict. You're saying, I need to guide myself away from that. Lord, give me the strength to say no to this, to let this go. That it's okay if I don't have this. It's okay if I don't see this. It's okay. I will be blessed for letting go. When you are in possession of a real salvation, it deals with you in real life. In real life. Right where you are. Be encouraged. We left off on verse 17, verse 13. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these things: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Every single one of those things that I just listed has a beginning root that is very small.
Yeah.
And it's possible to be tempted by. The Holy Spirit, who's with us, can identify anything that's a small root that can lead to any one of those things that are there.
Yeah.
Strife starts with you having an opinion different from mine. We disagree. There's nothing wrong with us having a different opinion about something. But if those opinions then become a conflict that we don't put prayer on, it can grow into strife, and strife is something that can stop us from inheriting the kingdom of God. So when we have a difference of opinion, we should start that with prayer. And if you're the only one of the two in the arrangement who prays, make sure you're praying enough to be able to let it go. I've heard a story about my grandfather, Brother I.C. Chandler, that someone expressed that when they saw him drinking grape juice outside of ordinance service, they were offended because they felt like he was disrespecting ordinance service. Now, I don't know how they felt about anyone else drinking the grape juice outside of ordinance service, but I was told that my grandfather decided he wasn't going to drink grape juice, correct me if I'm wrong, as a result to not offend this particular person. In an effort to not raise God, they said, okay, fine. I won't be drinking grape juice because that person got in the way of something for them. Now, there is no sin in drinking or not drinking grape juice. But the man of God said, I will do what it takes not to have a conflict. Not to have a conflict with somebody else. God gives us enough grace to deal with situations of that nature. One of the worst, all of them are bad that we on that list, but murder is one of the most heinous crimes that we recognize in our culture. And that starts with things that we say that turn into actions against other people. And why am I saying this to people who are saved? Because the devil will work anyway to get any sort of root. And recognize that the root of that is hatred. Starting with something you dislike. Now, having a righteous indignation against sin is different than having hatred for a person. God addresses us and lets us know that you can be guilty of murder based on how you start disliking something at the root. Now, that's a harsh statement because we can murder with the things that we say. So if you allow something you dislike to grow in your heart and don't allow God to take care of something you dislike, you can start saying things that can take out somebody's reputation. When you are in possession of the real salvation, you know, because when things that could be the root of hatred that could lead to murder, God will let you know. Notice how you are thinking about that person. Even if that person is in need of a serious blessing from God, God says, pray for those that despitefully use you. So it doesn't matter what person is coming against you and in what way they are behaving, God has enough power inside of us to make sure that we do not build up hatred inside of our heart. When you are in possession of the real salvation, you can live, work, and love someone who is despitefully using you. Not just today. This year. Because if someone is despitefully using you, and you are their only example of who God is, you're going to have to live with them for a while. It's not just today. People of God, you can be long-suffering with someone who is despitefully using you over a period of time. God has enough power for that. So when you are working with someone who is despitefully using you, and when I say despitefully using, let me define that. I'm saying that they're lying on you. They're trying to frame you up to do, saying you did something you didn't do. They're spreading rumors. They're trying to make you look as bad as possible. Anything that they can do without physically hurting you, and even physically hurting you if that's the situation. Yes. Not that you shouldn't defend yourself. There is enough power in God, for a saint of God, to pray for someone who despitefully uses them without allowing hatred to grow in their heart. I witnessed an example of my father working alongside someone for 8 years. Every single day, day in and day out. Anything to try and take his job. Now the blessing and testimony is he worked there for 22 years, but 8 of those years, he had someone there every single day trying, actively trying to take his job. So I know, based on testimony of what God can do, is that when you are being despitefully used, God can carry you on. When we have real salvation, it's not a joke. You can take a hit. God will help you handle that. God will protect you. Because he said, touch not mine anointed. And that applies to ministers. But we are his called people. We are ministers, and every place that we go, we are anointed. And we can tap into that. Such that when someone tries to touch us, God gives us enough grace to weather that situation. We left off on verse 21, going to 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. For each one of those things that prevent us from inheriting the kingdom of God, God gives a counter. And any places where there might be a gap, love fills in all those other places. Gentleness, peace, temperance, the long-suffering. In our language, I'm glad that it's a long word. It really does mean long-suffering. For a while. That might feel unfair. The situation is, though, at some point we all end up needing someone to suffer long for us. And God gives us a provision to be long-suffering for others. When we are in possession of the real salvation, we can tap into all of those things. Those are the tools of our warfare that are powerful with God. When you go into a conflict without this, without enough love, without enough meekness, without enough power, you come up short and something happens, something pops out. But the Holy Spirit will remind you, remember when I told you to take care of that? You needed to deal with that. So you didn't have that problem today. Now you see that there's a problem. Let's deal with it. Holy Spirit is faithful. When we are in possession of the real salvation, we know how to use the fruits of the Spirit. And when we aren't sure, God can inspire us in the moment with the fruits of the Spirit. We encourage things. There are challenging, distressing, serious things that we are all facing. God has enough power to work through them. Let's go over to Ezekiel. We're going to look at the 13th chapter in Ezekiel, but I want to talk a little bit about the backstory before we get to this 13th chapter. Ezekiel was a prophet in a very significant, trying time with the children of Israel. And it's important to note that it was beyond anything I'm aware of any of us dealing with. Now, true, I don't live your life, but I'm not aware of anything matching what Ezekiel has, and God held him accountable and required him to follow God even in that situation. Now, what the Old Testament, when you go through the Old Testament and you're reading through the process, what you'll notice is that any time the children of Israel, who were at that time God's chosen people, just started to yield to those temptations and lean away from what God taught them, he allowed their enemies, ultimately, to overtake them. He allowed certain challenges that they were already fighting against, they lost ground and power, and they ended up getting into captivity. Mm-hmm. Now, in the book of Ezekiel was a time when, roughly, it's a generational thing. It's usually the parents of whatever generation is present have not been following what God told them, and then that generation next, their children, end up in captivity. It runs across a period of years. And so, but what God always kept, he always was able to keep at least a small group, called the remnant in this case, who were still trusting in God the way they ought to. And God still required those who were trusting in God to spread the gospel, as you would say, to that situation. Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel starts out in which the children of Israel, they have been captured for a period of time, several months. And they basically are being bound and marched across the desert. And Ezekiel is among those who have been captured. Their king has been taken and confined in exile in another location, and they heard of another group somewhere else hiding. And then there's this group who are being marched by their captors, and the book of Ezekiel opens up with them washing at the river. They're allowed to wash at the river, and he sees a vision. And the vision and the description of the vision is very, very disturbing, kind of, and awe-inspiring, yet it's what Ezekiel needs to be truly reminded that God is still in control, that God still has the power. So this is the state of being in which Ezekiel finds himself and still needing to follow God. He's ultimately bound and enslaved with the people, and he has to preach to them in this situation. While on a spiritual level, in our country right now, we might say we are experiencing that sort of pressure. But physically we aren't. But we don't necessarily know that that won't come. But even in understanding that, Ezekiel is an example of how we can respond with the real salvation in a time like this. So over some time, when we get to chapter 13, there's been some around him who were also ministers or prophets, as he's called. And they have been discouraged because they aren't getting in touch with God the way they used to, and they start making up things. And God said, I can still talk to you, Ezekiel. And that's why the book is written from his point of view. Is he never wavered in this challenging time, in this significant situation. So that's the backstory of where Ezekiel is in chapter 13. So if we go to Ezekiel 13, starting at the first verse. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say unto them, that prophecy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. So there were some prophets who he was working alongside of him who started making up things out of their own hearts because they weren't in touch with God the way they should be. And God gives Ezekiel the responsibility because he is in touch with God the way he ought to be. to prophesy to them to stop making up things that are untrue. So this is a very significant and challenging situation in which Ezekiel finds himself. And understanding that being in touch with God the way we ought to be, we all have the blessing of discernment to be able to know that which is right. So be encouraged and meet the challenge that when you are in possession of the real thing and you are experiencing significant pressure, it could be even oppression, it could be bondage of outside of yourself, persecution, that you can get in touch with God no matter who you are, no matter where you are, when we are in possession of salvation. Thus saith the Lord God, in my verse 3, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge of the house of Israel to stand in battle in the day of the Lord. He said, they haven't done anything. They haven't done any work. They haven't trusted in God to guide them in order to say what they're saying. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. So then they took someone near there and said, yeah, you can verify that what I'm saying is true, right? But they hadn't gotten in touch with God. You, being in touch with God, can discern between who is saying what God has said. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because he has spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. Now, this is a challenging, a touchy situation. But because Ezekiel had a root in God the way he ought to have, he was able to speak up and identify what the concern was. My encouragement to you is, going back to the foundation, when you tap into the fruits of the Spirit, when we are living, working, and walking in what God calls for us, when someone comes up with some sort of divination of their own heart, we can be able to discern that which was really of God. God can talk to you. And you can connect with those who are there. May the Lord inspire our faith that even in significant trying times, there is a provision for you to be protected, for you to be faithful and not be tricked by the enemy. The way that we do that, moving forward, in your daily devotion, making sure that when the Holy Spirit comes and talks to you, you listen. When your personal devotion, in your personal walk, when there's something that the Lord lets you know, you need to change this, you can do that. The reason it's very good, important for you to do that is when you have a personal victory because God blesses you with that success, you know what it really feels like when God has blessed you in that way. So when someone else tells a story and shares a testimony, you know whether or not it's divine in the sight. Because you are in touch. You are in possession of the real salvation. May the Lord inspire our faith. That's why that personal devotion is so important. And the other one is making sure that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. To come together and share. If you have any questions, we go back to the basics. Go back to the basics. And one of the reasons we sing songs at church, that's a testimony of the victory that we have. Yeah. We must sing. Yeah. When we have the victory. If you have nothing to sing about, it's time to start praying again. Yeah. Time to start praying. If you are one who is not in possession of the real salvation, and you question whether or not you should get saved, Number one is the Lord talking to your heart, calling you to salvation. God is a realistic and personal God, and He doesn't deal with anybody but you. He doesn't include anyone else in the arrangements. It's doing spiritual business between you and God. That's it. And God never forces us. He invites us with a fervent love. Any other arrangement that would suggest that you have to pay in some way in order to receive salvation is a counterfeit example of any sort of spiritual progress in any way. God never asks for payment. He only invites with love. So that's why I sent my son to die on the cross, so you do not pay. And God continues to call us throughout our life as we draw closer to Him, with teaching us and guiding us in love. And it's real because there's evidence in your life as a result of the challenges that you are able to overcome. God's resume is impeccable.
Yes, thank the Lord.
There's nothing on it that's untrue. And when you ask questions, God can handle the questions. If you have concerns, God can handle the concerns. If you have doubts, God can handle the doubt. Be inspired. When God brings us to a place of spiritual understanding, whatever your spiritual state, saved or unsaved, when God says you have a spiritual need right here, He sends His Holy Ghost with some love, calls you by your first name. That's why we can identify the equality. The Lord has blessed me with the calling to be a minister, but when I need to measure up on something, He just says, Alicia, I'm talking to you. I have to meet the same conditions. When He says you need to make some changes, He says, Alicia, it's all about you right now. Hearing the voice of the Lord. You need to move on from that. You need to shift from that. He calls you by name.
Thank the Lord.
And no matter the rank of someone else at another location, when it's their time to do business with God, He's going to call them by their first name too.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. God sees each one of us as a soul in need who accepts the gift He's given. Because we are equal in His sight. And how He views us and what He wants from us.
Thank the Lord.
And we have the blessing and ability to be the ones to carry the gospel in the lives that we live. And if you question whether or not someone is really serious about that, you can ask the question. And God will bless them with an answer. If you have doubt that it's really going to last, we know some here who it has lasted for.
Thank the Lord.
If you have doubt about whether or not it can handle a very significant situation, there's some who can testify for that as well. If you have doubt on whether or not it can be right at home with you, with your family. Or even if your family is extended and estranged, can it help in that situation? We have testimonies. of where it did. Be inspired. The real salvation that God has for us is a very durable, lively, organic, healthy, robust salvation that can handle real life wherever it is that you are. Be inspired, saints. We have the real salvation. Thank you for your time and attention.